A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Apzok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And we're here to take a special look at Jedi Fallen Order, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, the video game Star Wars Jedi Fallen. It has a pretty long title, but it's a game that's been talked about, celebrated, and we're going to take a deep dive ourselves here on this game. Joseph, get in here and let's talk video games.
Yeah, it's so much fun to be able to talk all about the old video games, and we are going to talk total spoilers, full spoilers.
Right. I paused for a second because outside your studio window, a Star Wars-like military helicopter is flying. It's one of those, I forget what they're called, but the two rotator weird ones there.
Yeah, I can feel this one in my sternum, so it's probably picking up on the, it's okay. It's not a drop ship full of Inquisitors, so we will be okay. It's just part of the glamour of Hollywood. Sometimes you see a character actor buy an ice cream at the grocery store, and many times a 1,000 helicopters suddenly fly over your apartment.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So, who knows? But let's dive in here.
Yeah.
I want to just get your big picture reaction to the game. Actually as a video game. I think you've said this other places. There's the video game of it. There's the story of it. What was your big picture reaction?
I'm very happy you divided that up. Yeah, the game itself was not my favorite. It's just not my favorite style of game. Uncharted I've played. I stopped playing that series. I joke that I'm a dumb man who can't figure out the puzzles, but I just lose my patience for it. And then I found this, the action in here, either too difficult because I couldn't master the pairing. And we're not, you know, I'm not a gaming expert, but I do game a lot. I'm not bad, but I just couldn't master it. And then I lowered it to story mode, and then I was almost lulled into a boredom sleep level of hack stormtrooper, move on, and it just was lather, rinse, repeat. So I'm coming, starting with a negative point of view, but I really, but we're not talking story here. We're talking about gameplay, but I know a lot of people really loved it and found the fights great, and I think you were probably a little bit more positive on it than I was. I just found myself constantly going, even my girlfriend noticed one night, she goes, I've never thought I'd live to see the day where you weren't excited to sit down and do something Star Wars related, because I at one point said, it was like, I got to finish this game because we're going to do a review.
Yeah.
And it just took her back a little bit. So I just got to be honest with
you. Yeah, no, yeah. Totally understand. For me, on the actual like gameplay, there were some major hits in there, some things that I find just personal taste frustrating too. I actually think the combat was great.
Okay.
Because the parrying thing, I feel like, yep, that's a specific kind of gameplay that you need to, it needs to be about timing and you need to enjoy mastering the timing. I didn't parry much, and I found other ways to kill.
Well, once I got force push or pull, then the game had a little bit of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. But I have played enough bad video games, and I have played some not great Star Wars video games that I did appreciate that. When I hit a button, it did the thing it was supposed to do. Sure. I liked that you could easily shift targets. I liked that, yeah, your force abilities depleted, but if you use them well, you could stay, powered up in the force and be able to do lots of cool, fun force stuff. I haven't played Uncharted, played a ton of Legend of Zelda over the years. I really like puzzles, particularly when you know you're in a puzzle, when you're just like, whoops, I'm in a room and I got to move some balls somewhere or throw some candles at something.
Yeah.
There's a piece to me when you're like, you know, it's not combat. And you know the story isn't going to move forward until you figure it out.
Yeah,
I enjoy the puzzles. It's a Legend of Zelda thing. So those were two good things for me. This isn't my favorite way to lay out maps.
Right.
So I like that when you're playing it, it's a complex map and you get pulled through. Like, oh, you fall down here on Dathomir. And then, oh, you need to break open that door. Oh, but then there's a trap door. And the first time you play through, like, sure, because the game is leading me where I need to go.
Yeah.
But I am obsessive and I want to collect the crates and that. So then when you go back and you're like, how the hell do I get from point A to point B when the story isn't pulling me physically through the space? I'll liken that to Legend of Zelda too. Like in lots of Zelda games, areas are just open. You go like, well, I'll go up the hill and I'll go to the left or the right. But you get back into the dungeon and it's the same thing of like, when I first made my way through here, there was a linear path through it because it was demanded by the puzzles. But now that I'm going back, it's like, yeah, boy, how do I get up there? And I don't find the map that you can get in the pause program.
Yeah.
It's harder. It's hard. Too hard for me to differentiate the levels from one another.
Sure. Yeah.
So the map itself was a little bit of a frustration for me.
Yeah.
Total taste thing. It's designed great.
Oh, yeah, and it's a beautiful game. Like, I love a lot of stuff. I just experienced that. I just experienced what we talked about because I went back to Ilum after winning the game because I'm going to try for 100%, but it's like, yeah, let me go back there because I heard there was something I needed to see, and I saw it. And then I tried to get – and I got lost and was really frustrated, and it took me a while, and I'm like, but I've already been through here.
Yeah, how can I be lost?
Why am I lost? When
I, quote-unquote, beat this level.
Yeah.
And they're like, I can't find that place again, can you?
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I'm at the one place on Ilum where it's like, you've got all the secrets. You've got all the chests. It's still 98%. It's 98% explored. So it's like, there's some damn little – corner I can't find to stand on for 2 seconds.
2 seconds, or you know, swimming some swimming hole. Went the wrong direction.
I've swum in so many holes. In lots of holes. So those are kind of overall. There's some frustrations, some stuff we love to the gameplay. Right. Do you have any favorite moments in gameplay where you did go like, I'm enjoying playing this video game, not about story, but about like this gameplay was fun.
Walking around in the AT-AT walker and just blowing everything up.
That is pretty fun.
Pretty good. That's why Ken don't like no puzzles. like that. I did once I got like like all the powers, or at least a good amount of powers available to me, then it does become very fun yanking stormtroopers over to you.
Yeah.
Setting them in. So the battle wasn't, the combat wasn't completely a waste on me. I did enjoy it. I just, I am a hack and slasher. So a lot of that. And when I had the moments to pause and walk around and not feel like I had to get somewhere or was being
just
chased.
Appreciate the artwork and the location you were in.
I'll try not, because it's not, you cannot directly compare these games, but this to Red Dead Redemption or Red Dead Redemption 2, it's not the same style. I know I know it's not, but that is more my style, where there are times I just get on my horse and walk to a cliff and stare out.
Yeah.
And go to a town and just have a meal and take a bath and play a card game. And I love that because I get so lost in that.
Yeah.
And I didn't get lost in the worlds as much. Again, totally different styles.
Yeah.
Don't come at me for that. But I love when I gave myself those moments.
Yeah. And I definitely had a couple of those moments. I think I took a screenshot a couple different places, but standing right outside the temple on Dathomir at one point in a big, weird moon or other celestial body hanging in the sky and strange statues. Some beautiful shots like that. For gameplay for myself, I really like the puzzle where you had to throw candles around. Because it's one of those just sort of like fantasy, like, it's always a fulfilling thing. Again, for me, a lot of gaming is defined by Zelda, but like the fun of like, ooh, I lit that thing up with fire and now noise and something opens up. So it brought back those memories. And also just like, that's a fun force power to use, is like, I'm going to summon fire over here and then throw the fire at something. I like that. I'm not as huge of a fan of fighting big beasts. So, not a huge amount of joy out of that, but I like fighting a bunch of baddies. So that part towards the end, when you're on in the Inquisitor Fortress and you get to the Inquisitor training area and just dozens of different level villains are thrown at you, and it's just a marathon. I love that. I wish I could just hit. I just want to play that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because then you can, like, you're strong enough in the Force that you really have lots of choices. You have lots of abilities, so you can get that that real fun fantasy of like, ooh, can I slow down the blaster, then pull this guy over in front of the blast and get him shot, and then try to use this cool lightsaber slash, and ooh, can I dodge just right to kick this one guy in the knee? Yeah. Like, that stuff's really fun.
Yeah, I did like that one.
Yeah.
I did like that one.
It is a good one. All right. So that's a little bit of the gaming, where I think we might be a little bit more critical than others because of taste. But let's get into the story, which was lighting people up online. What is your big picture reaction to the story?
I grew to really like it, and I said right from the beginning, I was like, ooh, I like this. I like the setup of being on, Braca, the planet. I was like, oh, this makes a total sense of taking ships apart, and you get to see, all right, that's the ship from the thing I like, and I and
the recency of the Clone Wars. The
you really do. You really do. So I liked that, but then I suddenly got into, I don't know what it was. Cal didn't grab me right away as much as, say, Iden Versio did.
Yeah,
where I really love the character of Iden Versio. I like the character Del Mico a lot, and he did not grab me as much. In the end, though, I'm on board with him.
Okay.
I do like the characters that join along the way. So I really started to grow into the story. And, in our Discord server, the Force Center Discord server, you can access it through Patreon. A lot of great conversations about what the story meant to a lot of our listeners. And it does, and we'll get to the bigger themes, I'm sure, but it's just the focus on failure again, which is an interesting, powerful lesson, ties to Last Jedi, but also trauma. And the recovery and how you recover from trauma or don't recover, and how you, I, by the end of it, really loved that aspect of it. And I was surprised, even as of a couple days ago when we did, there's a recording, a Star Wars Ranked episode is going to come out in January with Billy Patterson. And I listed a character from this game.
Ooh.
To my surprise, as I was making the list, so you do the thing, you're like, let me talk about it. This is grabbing me right now. And then in talking about it, I realized how much I loved the moment in the story.
Yeah.
And even surprised myself, like, oh, okay, this got me more than I thought while I was frustrated at falling off of rocks and cliffs.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, cool. Well, I can't wait to hear a little bit more about that moment for you. I'm with everybody else. I think the fact that this was a game about trauma, in PTSD in particular, mm-hmm. I thought it really felt like literally when faced with trauma, Cal and you flash back to those moments.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Actually had to like work through them and play through them. And I liked that it was honest about how awful Order 66 was.
It was a really good sequence.
It had to be for all of these people. And just that idea that, well, yeah, you get knocked down, but you got to keep going. It's something that we tell ourselves a lot in storytelling, sure. Because it's an important thing to hear and it's hard to hear. But that idea of tying it really, it's really specifically of like, look, no, it's okay. That's what a Jedi does is mm-hmm. you got hurt really bad and it's okay as long as you don't stop.
Right.
As long as you keep moving. And it was one of those moments where I needed that storytelling. I was busy trying to get through this game. Mm-hmm. I had just defeated the Night Sister mm-hmm. on Kashyyyk,
yeah.
which was a fun battle. Literally, Cal force pushes her off, and I get an email I see with bad news.
No.
With like real like, oh man, I was hoping that was going to happen. And that little bit of like, that news could send me into a spiral
because
I was really hoping for that. And it's not going to happen.
Mm. Mm.
And I had that moment of like, Now I'm gonna always remember that when I this game, and then like the like immediate following scenes as I played through, were all these lessons of like, you gotta pick yourself up. You know, you're not, you know, one thing that happens to you doesn't define you. You define you. And it was like, oh wow, thanks, video game. That's exactly what I needed to hear right now.
Yeah.
So I think the story has many many layers of power, and you know. Getting to play Cal as a Padawan and high fiving his Order 60, his clone trooper buddies before they knowing they're gonna turn on him. There's a real power in playing through that.
That was one of the a sequence that was spoiled for me, but no intentional. No one went out of the way. I grabbed a hold of it and saw it and was like, oh, they did something in Order 66. So when that sequence starts and I turn the corner, you high five the clone. I went, oh no, oh, this has got to be it.
Yeah. Here we go. Have fun with your training, Cal.
Yeah, oh
no, no. Yeah. So awful.
Yeah.
Well, along those lines, I wanted to ask you which specific moments hit you the strongest. We talk kind of big picture about that
mm-hmm.
tale of everybody going through trauma, but what were the moments that grabbed you?
The character I really ended up, it's weird. Yeah. So it's a lot of Second Sister stuff.
Okay.
So when she reveals herself, what I would say pretty early on, like you're like, oh, boom, helmet's off.
Damn.
Suddenly that was the first point that I kind of leaned forward, was like feeling frustrated, maybe not connecting to the story as I thought. And I leaned forward and was like, oh, what do we have here? And the fact that she, you know, the Grand Inquisitor used to be a Jedi Temple Guard, everything, you get where they all come from. But this was now in your face.
Yeah.
Like, the seer who's helping you didn't tell you. And immediately just that was powerful. And then so how seer had to kind of deal with that. And then and kind of, you know, I was suddenly was into that part of the story of like, Trilla's lying. She's got to be lying. And to find out there was probably some truth to what was said. And this is what she went through. And to get that story unfold and all leads to her, Trilla's moment of her recovery from trauma in the way at the end is to kind of, you know, accept her fate, I think, accept her mistakes. But then the words would avenge us.
Yeah.
Powerful moment to me. Explain a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about when Vader returns and how I went, thank God, but for a different reason. And that is what got to me more, that series of events.
Trilla's arc,
the truth, even Seer. And I, by the way, Deborah Wilson plays her. I used to love watching her on Mad TV. She's great. So happens she's in Star Wars. So I liked it. Just it had a little bit of a wrinkle, some familiar Star Wars themes, even going to Luke and Ben Solo right now. But I, once all that was more powerful than anything Cal went to for me.
Yeah. And I think it was powerful in the big picture to tell this story where in the Skywalker saga, we've seen characters go through trauma, certainly, mm-hmm. but kind of be manipulated emotionally to the dark side. So to hear like, hey, my story is my master gave me up.
Mm.
And then it wasn't a let's probe at your psyche. They tortured me till I broke, till I knew nothing but hate. Makes it really visceral and a really different look at falling to the dark side.
Yes.
Rather than, oh, I was afraid I would lose something or I got angry and went too far, but just like physically tortured to a breaking point to where I can't feel any. I remember that I felt something else at some point.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything but hate. And it's the person who is supposed to protect me's fault is that's powerful.
Yeah. And it happens. It happens. And yeah, that's what all led to that moment. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really great. That was powerful to me. I think everything on Ilum, just as soon as they said, we're going to Ilum. I love that he smashed the crystal. I nerded out to my wife and was like, I gotta go to Ilum. And I love that whole gathering arc of Clone Wars. So just that, like, really cool. This is why I play a Star Wars game. So I get to be there. Mm-hmm. I get to do it.
That
it's not
great.
Just on the screen happening passively in front of me. I'm melting that ice wall. But I really connected to Eno Cordova. I really liked him. He's just really likable.
Yeah.
And so I was already... I think there's a little bit of that, his sort of like, ooh, I'm researching this old thing ties to... a lot of Lovecraft stuff I like.
Okay.
And specifically Lovecraft inspired video games called Cthulhu video games. We were trying to find old ancient things and some professor is looking into something they probably shouldn't be. So there's a lot in that story that I liked. So building up to that moment where Cal finds his crystal, it breaks. And so does he.
Yeah.
Of like, I can't possibly go on. And then to have BD-1 be the one to be able to get him back by like, let me show you what I sacrificed, dude.
Yeah.
You know, when Eno's been saying my friend, he was talking to me.
Yeah.
He loved me. And I wiped out everything I've ever known because I thought it would be the best way to make sure there was a future. So, hey, if I could do that, could you maybe get up? And to have that come from a relationship between a droid and this old Jedi master who'd gone his own way. It's like, it's a bunch of familiar Star Wars themes remixed in a really moving way.
Yeah.
It was late night, had some whiskey, but there were also some tears.
No.
From that, you know, and the symbolism of him going, just because the crystal is broken doesn't mean I can't still use it. It's like, great.
I'm glad you brought that up because BD-1, again, Ben Burt doing the voice, all that stuff, that's great.
Just Star Wars
on a Star Wars level. And look, without a doubt, that BD-1 to me is a dog, right? It's just bouncing around like a puppy. My girlfriend, who just can't not react to cute things, she walks in the living room and is like, oh my God, is that a dog droid? Like, I was like,
is it right in your bag?
That was a problem. And Cordova's, I've been reading the Jedi Temple, Jedi Fallen Order prequel comic book
series. Awesome. Can't wait to get into that.
Yeah, that went from like me going, oh, this seems pretty good, to I finished the game and I went back and read it. It was like, oh man, I really like this more now. And he's so good in that. And I loved him. Kind of like he had this like kind of like the Jedi Order's doing some stuff. There's just some things I don't agree with. I like going in the past to learn from it. I love this obsession. You're right. He's an underrated new Jedi, man.
Yeah,
I'd love to see some more Cordova stuff.
Yeah, and I just
that moment was a great moment.
Yeah, powerful, powerful stuff. And then you get to have that. I think tied to the gaming of like now you've got your full lightsaber. Choose any color you want. That was added to that moment.
And you chose?
I chose blue in the moment.
Okay.
But I had a moment of like, maybe I should have chosen something new, but I wanted to choose the classic. And then I was so delighted that, I get to change.
Yeah.
And I changed it to yellow for the rest of the game.
Interesting.
Because I just wanted to try something new, and I got really attached to the yellow because Cal was sort of like, I'm the symbol of I'm protecting. Nice. What had been the Jedi
and
protecting them the way the temple guards did.
Yeah. Yeah. I went purple.
You went purple.
The initial switch, I went green. You know, okay. Love the green. And when I had the choice, I was looking through and I was like, you know, I've never played with the purple.
So you
I've never gone the way of Mace.
You went the way of Mace. Yeah. So you used some Vapod.
Yes.
Fighting style. I wanted to just kind of touch in on the new characters, because there was a ton of new characters. Mm-hmm. The list I came up with, we got Cal Kestis, of course, Ser Junda, mm-hmm. Greez Dritus, Night Sister Marin, BD-1, Enor Cordova, Jero Topal, Cal's master, Prof, Cal's pal who gets killed early on. There was Sork Tormo, who's an Umbaran and the leader of the Haxian Brood crime gang. Mm-hmm. Taryn Malakos, the fallen Jedi, who loves to be shirtless and fight with you on Dathomir. And the second sister, Trilla Sunduri, which you talked about a little bit. And then we'll talk about returning canon characters as well. But I believe those characters were all new, except for that comic book. Out of there, who we talked about a little bit, but who spoke to you?
BD-1, Cordova, we talked about, but they're very, very good. I like Sork Tormo. I like that sequence. Really, that's when the game, I almost threw the controller through. And I think I was Twitch streaming that part and I had to turn it off because I realized, people are watching a side of me I don't show a lot. Oh. I had a little temper flash.
Was that when you initially ended up there?
I ended up there because I had it on a higher level, like the Jedi Master level or something. Oh. And just all those creatures in the gladiator sequence were killing me. So that's when I was like, I'm going to basic beginner level just to get through this because I'm having. But I something about it, like the character, I wouldn't mind him or that sequence in some kind of live action form or something. Yeah. Like it was fun to me. Really did like Second Sister. Night Sister Marin, I really like. I think there's a tragic beauty to the character and what she goes through, her recovery from trauma. I think it's a beautiful moment with her and Cal when she turns around. I also would probably try to date Night Sister Marin. So it just, there was a base level of like, this is every girl I liked in my 20s, witchy goth girl. So.
There was some strong, were you a young, sexually aware person in the 90s?
Yeah.
Night Sister Marin, like there was a vibe there, I think. For many people of many genders and sexualities, I think
just
there's something about Night Sister Marin.
That was part of my journey through the game.
Yep. But you're not alone.
But her story, like when she kind of has her kind of turning point, I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
And I considered her, everyone did a really good job. I considered her, oh gosh, what her name's like, Tina something. She's a Russian actress. I thought she did the best acting in the game.
She really brought it out. That scene between her and Cal where they bonded over both being the last of their kind.
Yes.
Great Star Wars themes of her trying to see things from his point of view of like, all I'm trying to do is, you know, defend this list of children.
Yeah.
And her going like, I can really relate to that. Yeah. And in fact, I don't want to just stay here in a grave. Mm-hmm. I want to see the galaxy.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, so powerful and so cool. I wanted to ask you about this specifically. I want to go and play the game again so I can enjoy Ser entirely, because I kept expecting her to turn. I kept expecting it to be the story to be, it's a manipulation that she doesn't want to do this for some reason. So she's manipulating you into getting, I kept expecting to get the holocron and then be attacked by Ser. And I don't know if that was a red herring. I don't know if that was just me being a paranoid video game player.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy that wasn't the story. And she was just a person who, hey, here's the trauma from the Padawan's view. Here's the trauma from a master's view. Now they can be master and Padawan together and heal together. Yeah. I far prefer that story than what I feared.
Yeah.
But I kept being distracted by it.
I had the same kind of feeling. I thought Greez was selling us out along the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a gambling problem.
He got a gambling problem. And so I thought he really, really, when I'm in Sork Tormo's gladiator arena, I'm like, I think he even yelled it on the stream. I was like, I knew Greez would do something to it. But yeah, there's a little bit because of the way the game goes, and she, there, it's, every time she's like, cool, good luck with your mission. We'll be here, to the point where you're just are naturally kind of like, hey,
yeah,
like, you got a lightsaber too.
Yeah. You
get out here.
Yeah. You don't want to use the Force too. You're just standing around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And even though, yeah. So I know I've shut myself off, but I don't care. Come out here.
Well, flip the switch, Sarah, and help me out, because I'm getting my ass kicked by frogs.
I felt that a little bit too. Oh, that frog. The first frog.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and I really like where it came to. I like that she opened herself back up to the Force in order to knight Cal and all of that. All right. Let's move on to some of the returning canon characters. We had Tarful.
Yeah.
We had Saw Gerrera. We had the Ninth Sister, Masana Tide, who appeared in the Vader comic book. Mm-hmm. The Purge Troopers were also introduced in the Vader comic book. They are the last of the clones. And of course, you know, that person known from canon, Darth Vader. So out of those characters, did anybody really pop for you? Did they all feel like they belonged there and weren't just there to throw in some, hey, you know that person?
Ninth Sister, Purge Troopers. Like, Purge Troopers are so Star Wars video gamey. They're so Star Wars Force Unleashed. And so I'm not a huge fan of them, but no light nights sleep lost with me. Ninth Sister's fine. So I love Saw Gerrera. So I love getting a little bit more with him. And this one really leaned into sawing all right. Saw ain't all there, and Saw does some things we don't like, and I was okay because that's the character.
Yeah, I really liked it. He's just like, yep, we rescued the Wookiees. Nope, losing battle. Bye.
Bye. So that because I had that, I was like, all right, you're putting them here on a planet where the natives are enslaved, and Saw would probably have a problem with that. So things are going wonky in his brain, and so I did like it. I liked it. I love the appearance of Tarful. I actually was bummed that Tarful didn't do more. Quite frankly,
yeah. I mean, Tarful basically said, "Your princess is in another castle."
Yes,
I was just like, I don't have it, but maybe check out here.
I was bummed, and this was during the early parts where I was a little more frustrated with the game. I was a little like, I don't get to talk to Tarful much or play with him.
Yeah,
okay. But my favorite was Darth Vader, and here's why. Because not only love Vader. By this point, I'm into the story. By this point, it's the end of the game. So I'm in the middle of the final fight, or the final sequences we're on. Was it Nur?
The moon Nur.
The moon of Nur. And I had this thought as I'm playing in real time. Wait a minute. You're telling me that two of the Inquisitors are chasing a known Jedi and potentially another one. One is a former master. And you're telling me Palpatine, Tarkin, or Vader weren't like, let's check this out? As I'm thinking that in my head, going, if this flies under the radar of all those people, I'll be upset. Vader starts showing up, and I went, oh, thank you.
Oh, okay. I'm so happy to say, oh, no. I wish I had your experience. So the game comes out on Friday, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had stuff to do on Friday, but like I downloaded it Friday night. So on Saturday morning, I could play it.
Pajamas on.
Right. Midday on Friday, I'm getting ready to go do the thing I need to do.
Yeah.
And a notification of a YouTube video, Darth Vader in Jedi Fallen Order. It's the title. It's a picture of him, and it is less than 24 hours since the game came out. And that's the kind of thing that does piss me off.
Yes.
Like, it's...
Give in to your anger.
Yeah, so I should have done it a long time ago. I turned off many, many different push notifications. It was like, literally, like, I was brushing my teeth with my phone on the sink, and just bang, spoiler. And like, you can make those videos without putting that in the title, right? Less than 24 hours after the video game is available?
You can, but they want the SEO clicks. And Ilum was spoiled for me.
I guess I'm lucky there. I did not get Ilum spoiled.
Ilum was spoiled. So I was kind of like, oh, cool. Now we're going. I think Dathomir was spoiled, but I think I don't know. For some reason, I guessed. But the Vader one wasn't. And so I had that I'm telling you, it was real time. You're telling me that Darth... Oh, there he is. It was great.
Yeah. And when I was doing that last battle against Trilla before Vader shows up, Sarah was making dinner. And she's like... And I was the same thing of like, I'm loving this game, but I got to finish it.
Yeah.
And she's like, how close are you? And I was like, I don't know. I think Darth Vader is going to come after me in a moment. And it's either going to be real quick or it's going to take me a while. How did you feel that they used Vader as... the unstoppable force that you can knock over, you can distract, you can send your cute droid to try to drill into his machinery, but like you're not going to go lightsaber. I got some points on him.
Yeah. Because then as he's there, I'm like, okay, how does this play out? Cause, and I love that he
the things he did were pretty awesome. It was Rogue One hallway, Vader times 10. Right. And I was really happy with Vader's use.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved that he was just this terrifying, unstoppable force. And that these still make you feel engaged by having to actually, you know, hit the buttons to stop him. I like the Night Sister. I think she really added to the story of how awful this Inquisitor program is. Her line about like, I'm mutilated. Not going to hurt me if you mutilate me more. Yeah. I'll just use a different hand after you cut her hand off. It's pretty awful. Location. So we talked about this a little bit. We got Braca, which had also appeared in Resistance Reborn book. Mm-hmm. Bagano, the home of large frogs and bouncy cute creatures.
And not Sleaze Bagano, but...
not Sleaze Bagano, but just plain old Bagano. That's clearly where he's from. Zepho, the place of many returns. Kashyyyk, Dathomir. Ordo Eris was the name of the asteroid base of the Haxian Brood. And Sork Tormo, and Ilum, and Nur. The Fortress Inquisitorius on the moon, Nur. So which of these were you most excited to visit?
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ilum. Once I kind of heard about it, and then once it opened up, I was like, this is, you know, because quite frankly, I love the Gathering sequence, but I have been on the Starkiller Base's Ilum train for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, just been me and Alex Damon text back in the day, like, it's gotta be. So I just wanted to go there. But just like you said, once I got there, it wasn't about Starkiller Base for me. I was like, wow, I'm walking around this place that I love that episode and everything. So really felt that. I actually learned to love Zepho. At first, I was really frustrated with Zepho. I think it's great. And then, oddly enough, most disappointed by Kashyyyk.
Yeah.
I don't know what yours was. Mine was just all just a little personal expectations. It's my favorite thing on the Battlefront, one of my favorite levels on Battlefront games.
Yeah.
And that always comes across to me as a forest on a beach. And this one was weird, enchanted forest. I'm not saying that was a bad choice or wrong, but for me, I was like, it's not the Kashyyyk I grew up thinking about. So I have to release my expectations. Okay. That's where my brain.
They're in the holiday special. There's not a lot of bouncing on huge flowers.
Yeah.
I liked Kashyyyk once you started to get into some of the story stuff and you got into the origin tree and saving the rare bird. That stuff. That stuff was great. For me, Ilum, not only did I love the just, ooh, I get to be there. I had that same tension you're talking about with Vader, the canon tension of like, this is so great. This is so cool. It should be crawling with Imperials.
Yeah.
So once the Imperials suddenly, not only did they show up, but you saw that trench kind of construction. It was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It looks like this is where they're going. I think that might be one of the true big highlights of the game for me is walking out onto that platform and going, thank you for having this place crawling with Imperials. And oh, thank you for that shaft.
Yes.
That shaft of confirmation that Ilum and Starkiller Base are one and the same. That was so great. I wanted to shout out Ordo Eris just for that actual game move of, oh, you thought you were doing one thing? You got captured and you got nothing. Classic Star Wars game, Dark Forces, that I played back in the day on PlayStation.
Yeah.
There's that famous scene where you get captured and when all your stuff is taken away and you just jumped into a pit with a dragon that you have to punch out because that's all you got left. So I liked that that allusion to that old game. All right. Let's look at some canon stuff. The reveals and impacts. Ilum is Starkiller Base, we kind of touched on. It's great to just kind of have that level of confirmation.
I just absolutely geeked out over it. Nerd chills. Like, this is it. Now, again, I'll say this. Ilum as Starkiller Base is great. It's also slightly disappointing because it's not, in Force Awakens, it's not dealt with any reverence. Like, oh, you know what happened there? That's where Jedi used to get their crystals, and we just blew it up.
Yeah.
So, but I don't care. I'll take that little kind of story hit to just have this, like, fun little, like, it just made so much sense. That's what they would do. Like, and the fact that it was with the Empire and they do talk about some of the Imperial remnants that go out, carry some of the secrets of the Empire with them to the unknown regions and form the First Order. So it makes sense that some would be like, hey, didn't we have a project going on here?
Yeah.
Because Ilum's in kind of the unknown regions, wild space area. So,
to have them go like, we started a project that we could finish, and that would truly make us the ultimate power.
Yeah,
I think, thinking about everything that happens there on in Force Awakens, that's where the blade flies to Rey, where that Kyber crystal probably started out, unless we get a different story. And also, you know, Starkiller doesn't actually blow up. It seems to kind of absorb that uncontrolled energy and become like a new star.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of a nice kind of very Star Wars, out of death there is new life.
And the strongest stars have hearts of Kyber.
Exactly. Hey, you know what? We just wrote ourselves some good fan fiction and some greeting cards for Star Wars. I feel like a canon idea that has been at play elsewhere that was cool to see is this idea that different cultures understand the Force. This galaxy is extremely old, and there are lots of different cultures. I love that the Zepho called it the Life Wind.
Yeah.
And just that idea that, ooh, it looks like the Zepho maybe understood it differently.
Yeah.
But you also got the sense of like, well, this Zepho was clearly devoted to the light.
Right.
This one clearly fell to the dark side.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
My dad called it the Life Wind, too, and that was a different conversation. But, yeah, I don't know why I love more and more the idea that these other cultures have the Force and different versions of it, including the Chiss and calling them Skywalkers and everything.
Yeah.
The Legends of Luke Skywalker book, like the Tide and everything, like the Mistweavers. I don't know why. I haven't figured out for myself why I like it so much.
I think it just powers this idea that it is ancient and true.
Yeah.
Right? That it has existed long before any of the characters that we know and will exist long after them. And it just, I think it speaks somehow to a feeling of connection.
Yeah.
That we might have different names for it, but this sense that there is a larger universe for us to step into and understand exists, and everybody has been trying to figure it out. What it means, how to use it, what it has to tell us about life.
Yeah.
You know, that's powerful to me. The idea that a Night Sister survived the attack of Grievous's army and that she can use her magic off of Dathomir.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to look up where I got that in my head. I think there are things in, I don't know if there's anything explicitly said in the Clone Wars, but there are things that made me think in database entries that their magic comes from Dathomir.
Okay.
And I like that. To getting to see Night Sister Meryn go like, oh no, I can.
Yeah.
I don't know if she took vials of ichor with her in order to be able to do those things, but also, you know, makes it more sense why Palpatine was like, the Night Sisters might be a problem sometime. We got to wipe them out.
Yeah. Oh,
in the Clone Wars. Cause Meryn seems so powerful. I also will say since we're here, that I didn't know we were going to Dathomir, and that was a thrill. Aesthetically, one of the most beautiful places, but I felt guilty slaughtering the Knight Brothers.
Oh, like, I really did too.
Come
man.
On, they're just trying to get by, and I am an intruder. Yeah. So I was like, can I tap him on the head with a hilt?
And there was, it's a bigger conversation, but the idea of, you know, in Battlefront 2, the story mode, you're the concept of make a choice to be better comes from that scene of why Luke kills stormtroopers, why he doesn't kill Delmico. Even one of the writers of Battlefront 2, Walt Williams, kind of tweeted out something kind of very positive about this game, but it was like, I didn't really feel like a Jedi a lot when I was slaughtering people who were begging for mercy.
Yeah.
It's a different, deeper conversation. But yes, so all that to say, there were some Knight Brothers. I was like, oh man, sorry guy. Sorry.
Yeah. Can I just knock you over?
Yeah.
I don't want to push you off a cliff.
Yeah.
And then the Fortress Inquisitorius on the moon Nur.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Kanan has that line about Mustafar in Rebels of like, that's where Jedi go.
Right.
So there was a little bit like when they were building up to like, we got to go there. I was like, oh damn, are we going to Mustafar? And it all works for me canon wise that this was the base then. Maybe it moved there. Maybe Vader took, you know, special Jedi guests to Mustafar. Yeah. But I did have a little bit of reaction to that.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it in general. I think you're right. There's some bigger questions that we might get an answer for. It's not a whole plot hole until you get the whole story. But I just liked it in general. The only thing is, like, Vader goes through so much to build his fortress, and we've seen the comic and everything that goes on. But we do see that there was that Imperial kind of architect going around. And so maybe this was early design, and that's why she's like, eh, you know, I worked on that one. But so, yeah, I did like it in the end, though.
Yeah, it's a cool design. It's too bad you can't revisit it without playing through the whole game.
Yeah.
So I think one of the super cool things is the customization.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you customize your lightsaber or your outfits, the Mantis, BD-1? What'd you do?
Mantis, no, because I have this really weird problem of like, they wouldn't take the time to paint their ship. BD-1, I did though. I had a lot of fun. I the one that's like the Yavin theme.
Okay.
It's like something like Yavin. I switch BD-1 every mission.
Right. Nice.
I put a couple different ponchos on, but for the most part, I kept Cal the same. Lightsabers. Yeah, I did. Mine, I could still take a screenshot of it. It was very like the one that had like leather kind of looking around or a little darker. Yeah, I had a theme going with my lightsaber, and they got rid of the little wings on where the blade comes out.
The emitter. That was, I think, Jero's initial emitter.
Get rid of that. I like more the classic Skywalker one from Jedi, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Luke's
green blade, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. The real saucer shape. Yeah, yeah. Did you go double bladed when you could?
Oh, I did, yeah, yeah.
And
I
did you keep it as soon as you were able to double blade?
I did, yeah. I did like that, yeah. I'm not like a huge Ray needs double bladed staff guy, but that was fun.
It was really cool.
And when you could split it apart. I was like,
Yeah. I went to Dathomir early and got to double blade early because I went there before I was supposed to. And like, I can't remember how they hinted at me of like, basically like, you can't jump that high right now, Cal.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. I'll go to Kashyyyk and learn to jump. Come back to Dathomir. This is, I think, one of the real triumphs of all of this fun, interconnected Star Wars world that I was able to make my Galaxy's Edge blade.
Oh, yeah.
So those parts are all Galaxy's Edge. So that was a ton of fun. It really made me invest more in finding all the chests to go, hey, can I actually? Yeah, so I made a double-sided version of my actual lightsaber that I made in Galaxy's Edge. Very cool. Went with that yellow blade. I made BD1 green and yellow. I can't remember what the name of it was, yeah, but okay. I really liked him when he was green with the yellow.
I had that once.
It's a weird color pattern, and I believe it was the second series of Empire Strikes Back trading cards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Their Absolutely. Color palette, so looked great. Mm-hmm. I turned the Mantis into a bounty hunter ship. Getting Boba Fett's colors, why not? And I didn't like the ponchos until I found the Homestead poncho.
Oh, I didn't have that one.
So Homestead, it's called Homestead, and it's got the kind of black and red designs that are on the roof of the dining area in the Lars Homestead.
I'll have to go back and play for that and find it.
It like truly, not that I wasn't enjoying the game, but it upped my level of just like every time I looked at it, I was like, damn, that's cool.
I may have had it because I just didn't switch. I kept it same.
Yeah.
Same,
yeah. Yeah. Understandable. So ton of fun. I think that was a big part of the fun of the game. As we begin to wrap up, because we only got so much time today, and as listeners know, we could talk for hours. Let's talk about the end of the game, because I think a ton of juicy meaning there. How did you feel about the choice to destroy the holocron with the future generation of Jedi on it? Did it feel right?
It did feel right on a few levels. On one, just like a little canon question of, well, if this goes on and somehow we in a sequel game we find all the names, a lot of Jedi run around and maybe put a pin in that for me to come back to that. But so I liked it in that regard. Just like, cool, we don't have to deal with it. But two, I liked it the spiritual aspect of it. Let's let the Force decide their fate in a way.
Yeah.
Let's not force this on them there. You know?
Yeah. I think I resisted it at first because there's like the obvious canon implications. So like, yep, okay, you know, I kind of saw it coming, but then felt like, you know, Cal had this vision of inevitably what would happen is he would be in the same position that he and Sarah are working through the trauma of.
Yeah.
Is that this awful darkness would hunt them. But he'd also kind of found like, well, I was just hiding on Braca, but it's good to have purpose.
Yeah.
So I felt like, are you giving into fear?
Mm.
This is one possibility.
Right. Yeah.
Or are you making a noble choice? And I came around to liking the choice because of exactly what you were saying, this idea of whether or not the choice fits with Cal and Sarah kind of reclaiming the mantle of Jedi. And I think it is because of Cal's line about, well, we'll just see what time brings them.
Yeah.
And that idea of, let's look at the mistakes of the Jedi Order past.
Mm-hmm.
The Jedi Order in the past would have just finds kids.
Yeah.
And gives them a little bit of choice, but they're already gone from their family.
Leave now or in an hour.
Right. And for them to go, all right, we want to learn from the past and find a path forward.
Mm.
Do we want to take the choice to be a target away from a child?
Yeah.
And I think going like, we can't, it's not our place to paint a target on a child's back.
Yeah.
If they are meant to act, the Force will move them
to act. Yeah.
To a moment of action, I thought was pretty elegant and cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that in the end, yeah.
Yeah. So, final question here. Mm-hmm. You already touched on it, but I want to dive in. How do we feel about more Jedi running around in this area, in this era of time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what fate do we want for them, all that?
I posted this in the Force Center Discord server, so listeners there will have heard it before. I kind of need Cal and Seer to die.
that was going to be my joke as well, that I want a sequel to this video game, because I think they're leaving it open for a sequel.
They sure are.
And I want that video game to be called Jedi Fallen Order, Cal and Seer's Noble End. Because, look, we've danced with this so much in Star Wars storytelling.
Yep.
I like what they developed in Rebels of like, yeah, maybe there's some other Force users running around, but it's Luke's destiny to face the Empire. Mm-hmm. And I would love for Cal to do something noble. I would love for them to find a weird Zepho temple that needs to be guarded for eternity. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there are lots of missions and noble ends for Jedi. But I don't want it to just be like Cal, like, yeah, I heard about that rebellion, but it didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm fighting a frog.
Yeah.
Like, right. But it's also, it's his path. He reclaimed the mantle of Jedi.
See, and it is somewhat canon problematic, canonatic problem. And that's my issue with it. But so I like canon. I like Ezra. I like what Obi-Wan tells Ezra, you're not supposed to be here. I love all that. So it doesn't take away from me Luke, the New Hope, the Last Jedi, that path, that is the big chosen one destiny. That's something bigger and different. I say this, George Lucas created this problem when he, in 77, gave us a movie where the wise old wizard said, that's been a long time. Everyone's gone. Dead. You're kind of it. And yeah. Then realistically, you get the prequels and suddenly it's like, well, that was only 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes, there was this purge, but we know that didn't end it because people were, two of them at least, got away right in front of our eyes as viewers. Yeah. So it makes sense there'd be more. And 20 years isn't a long time. So, though Palpatine did a good job changing the narrative and erasing it. The Jedi were bad. Nope, the Jedi didn't exist. I'm on board for that. But so I think you have to kind of answer that little problem George created.
Yeah.
Remember the Jedi? The ones from 2 years ago? Yeah. So it works for me. I just, maybe they don't need to die, but they need to be taken off the playing board for me.
Yeah, I agree. They need to get off the board in some way, and it doesn't have to lessen their story, because I think it is such a noble idea of having purpose. So I was happy with the slashing of the holocron, and it's a fun final line of, like, where to next?
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be Grease going, like, let's go to Canto Bight.
Yeah.
Right? Because they both decided.
Yeah.
We're going to do something, and Marin has the, I want to see the galaxy. So I want them to go and fight the Empire for a while, put a dent in the tyranny.
Yeah.
Maybe you can easily create some noble story.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they awaken the Zepho somehow and have a truly noble. And any final thoughts on Jedi Fallen Order?
Just a quick picture, man. I know I was a little frustrated with some of the gameplay that comes through, but in the end, this is such an accomplishment. It brought such joy to so many fans, and I celebrate anytime someone loves Star Wars. We all do here at Force Center and this game. I'm glad it exists. I'll probably play it again. I'm on a little kind of completion journey myself, but I might do it all over again to appreciate the moments too, because sometimes I don't appreciate the first time around because I'm like, gotta get to the next level.
Yeah.
So we'll do it again. But love that the game exists.
Yeah, I think it is a fun game with a really, really powerful story. It lets you go some places and do some things that are truly moving. It rewards people who have followed the canon deeply. And even if you're just a casual Star Wars fan, you get to have just the fun and thrill of running around with a lightsaber, doing double jump flips and pushing stormtroopers off things, and tells a lot of lovely needed stories about processing trauma and grief. And the final thing I will say is, if you're the kind of player who's played fast, I had so much fun every time we landed somewhere to just keep pushing the talk button. It's one of my favorite things to do until you get to the point where you've been having a lovely conversation and then Seer has to say things like, I don't have anything left to say, Cal. Cal, I'm trying to meditate. Cal, you better get out there. And then they just stand there staring at you. Cal's just standing there. The wind.
Good luck to you, Cal.
Blowing through his glorious ginger hair, waiting for his destiny. I think that's fun, too. That's all I got to say.
That's all we have to say on Jedi Fallen Order. But we know you have a lot to say, so you can find us on Twitter. Go to Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Force Center. Like our Facebook page. We're on Instagram, YouTube, podcasts available in a lot of spots. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/ForceCenter. And we also got merch on TeePublic. You can follow me at catnapsuck.com for all information. Joseph, they can go to josephscrimshaw.com for your journeys.
That's right. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram is at Joseph Scrimshaw.
So that is it. Get back to play, and we'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.